Beautiful psalm. Taken from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Anybody else? Not on your Bible, Psalms, chapter 78. Going to change it up a little bit. I had some things in my mind that I thought that I was going to share with you tonight, but sitting there, I began to think about and changing a little bit. And so I want to begin reading. I'm going to read a little bit more than normal, but I want to share with you a couple things. I want to say this before I get into the message. Looking out, even tonight, we have some missing that's normally here, but we have a good group of young people. And I was thinking, looking out over the young people, I was thinking how thankful that I am that we have these young people, and they're not perfect, but neither were we. No. And to be honest with you, many of them are probably in better places than some of us was when we were teenagers and when we were young like that, like they are. I was thinking about why we lose our youth and why they go astray and why we all go astray. But I want to read, and tonight we're just going to rehearse how good God is to Israel. And I want to give just a couple thoughts about things that we need to be careful about so we don't lose our youth, things we need to teach them. You know, in Deuteronomy, the nation of Israel, in chapter number 6, was commanded to write some things on their post at their house, to remind their children every time they went in and out of the house of some things about God. That God, He's one God. And then the goodness of God. And they were also even to write them in scriptures and have them upon their foreheads. Because children are very important. You only get one shot with your children. And too many times, people gets caught up, and they get caught up in the race, and they lose track of their children. And children, the Bible says, are a heritage of the Lord. It says in chapter 78, give ear, verse number 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He had done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carried in bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forget His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea. He caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as great heat. In the daytime also, He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink, as of out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock, and that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed? Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp and round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, and he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wonderful works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. They remembered that God was their rock, the high God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind passes away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with us. Lead, guide, and direct us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all the many blessings that you shared with us. May we learn to share that with our children, Lord, and may we understand that we have truly been blessed. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask you to go before us, watch over us, forgive us of where we fail you, and Lord, forgive us of where we fall short. Forgive us of where our faith fails to believe and trust as we ought to believe and trust. Lord, we just pray that you just touch us and speak to us tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Can you believe Israel? Can you imagine being Israel and having the history that Israel had and not being wanting to sit and share all those things with your children? I mean, just think the exodus that they had coming out of Egypt and how that God provided the Passover lamb and how that God sent his all the plagues upon Egypt to get their freedom, and how that God sent the death angel and he spared Israel and allowed them to come out, and he opened the Red Sea and they walked on dry land and they got across and they saw him take the Red Sea and destroy their enemy, Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. And they went through the wilderness, and as they went through the wilderness, they were guided by a cloud of a day and fire at night. And God would lead them wherever he wanted them to go. And whenever they got thirsty and they had nothing to drink, he caused Moses to smite the rock. And now you got to remember, there was millions of people. A couple times in the book of Psalms, it talks like when he struck that rock, a river came out of the rock. And it watered all of Israel. And imagine, here they were thirsty in this desert. And they were needing something to drink, and God told Moses to strike the rock, and he struck it. And when he struck the rock, here come a flowing water. You know, that was a type. That was a type. That rock was a type of Jesus. Paul said in the book of Corinthians that rock was Christ. Amen. And, of course, Moses, when he struck it, it was a type of what Jesus would happen to Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. He was struck down. He was crucified. He gave his life that we might be able to drink of the water of life freely. And you'll remember later on in Israel's history why they wandered around in those 40 years, that they become thirsty again. They murmured against God again. And God told Moses, go up and speak to the rock. And remember that Moses went up and he was angry with the people. And instead of speaking to the rock, he took his rod and he smote it again. When he did, God told him, he said, you cannot go into the land of promise, Canaan, because of what you just did. And somebody said, what was the big deal? The big deal was this. Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary one time. The Son of God was only going to go before men and let them smite him once. Once he was smote, he died and he gave his sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, never to be crucified again. And when Moses smote that rock again, it was a type of like trying to crucify Jesus afresh. Now, once Jesus has been crucified, if you want water out of that rock, he doesn't have to be crucified. You speak to the rock. And when you cry out to the rock, water comes forth. And he gives you water of life when we do that. And so here Israel had that rich history. Then they were hungry. And so what God did was he opened up heaven. And he sent them manna every morning. They would get up and every morning, except the day before the Sabbath, they would pick up an omer of manna. It'd be enough to feed them that day. They'd go through and they'd eat. And of course, the day before the Sabbath, they would have to pick up enough for the Sabbath as well. And so they would eat. And God provided wherever they were, he sent the manna. They got complaining because they didn't have flesh. And so as the Bible describes here, God sent a east wind and a south wind, and it brought quail. And the quail began to fall at their feet. The Bible says they were like the sand of the sea, and they began to eat. And the Bible said while they were still in their mouth, God chose the choicest of them. He called it the fattest of them, the men of Israel, and they choked to death. Now, you've got to remember that everybody over 20 years old died in the wilderness. Many of them choked to death on the flesh that they murmured against God because they wasn't happy and they couldn't be satisfied. You know, if we're not careful, we rob our children. We rob our children by neglecting to tell our children how good God's been to us. Our children hears us many times just murmuring, complaining about what we don't have instead of what we have. Our children needs to hear it rehearsed, how good God is. Our children need to realize that what we are, we have because of God's blessings, his benefit to us. I think about sometimes, and I was talking about, you know, disruption sometimes. We have a couple come sometimes that maybe be disruptive. But our children ought to use that for an example. Not for something to look and think small about, but to have grateful hearts about. Yeah. Amen. And to realize that God's truly blessed you. If you have your legs, if you have your hands, you have your eyes, you have your ears, you have your right mind, praise God. Amen. Thank him. Let him know if you're able to stand. And somebody said, well, you know, preacher, I just don't have it as good as so-and-so. But as we said many times, if you go in third world countries, you get a whole new perspective about life. I went one time, I was there for a week in a place, and all we did was we ate rice one time a day. Lost 17 pounds, I think, that week. Rice one time a day. And you know what? I never heard one person. We drank coffee out of a big old black pot over a campfire, and it was nasty, had bugs in it, had everything else in it. But they give you a glass, and I never heard one person complain. We asked the chief of the tribe where we were preaching at, where I was preaching. I said, do you mind if I give your children some candy? He said, no, I don't want you to do that. I said, why? He said, they're content. He said, they don't know what they're missing out there. They're content with what they have. If you begin to give them something that they couldn't have again, they would want to go out there searching for it and finding it. And he said, I would prefer that you not even give them any candy. That week we gave them cold water, and they danced. And they would dance around because they got to taste cold water for the first time in their life. They'd never tasted water that had been over ice. And I will never forget the first night we had about 25 of them. And after that, by the end of the week, we had over 200 kids waiting for just one sip of water. And they would get it and they would laugh and they would hold hands and they would just jump around in a circle and laugh and carry on with one drink of cold water. And I thought, Brother Porter, we're spoiled. But you know how we keep our children from going astray. Our children need to hear us thanking the Lord.
Amen.
For the good things that he's given us. And not always be complaining about things. Israel was complaining. And so therefore the Bible calls them a rebellious generation. And by the way, when you look, you can see a trend of what happened to America. I'm of the group where I've often said that I feel like I was born in the wrong generation. Of course, God doesn't make mistakes. But you know, I would like to live back several years ago, back in simpler times. But I see from World War II, when men went out to war, one of the most devastating wars this country got involved in, I guess. And when they went out, the women went to work in the factories, which was not what they were used to. They were used to the man providing, and most of households had the man providing and the wife staying home, raising the children. She would take care of the home. She would raise the children. They would eat around the table three meals a day. And there was an organized home. But then when they came back from war, many of the women did not want to go back. They got used to paychecks. They got used to other things. They stayed. Homes began to see a dramatic increase in divorce rates. Then you find that the generation that come, their children, that was a generation from World War II, would have been the 60s. When you look at the generation of the 60s, they were a rebellious generation. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against government. They rebelled. Brother Jim was talking about when he come back from war in Vietnam. One of them walked up to him and called him a baby killer. And they were just rebellious, the 60 generation. And what they did was they rebelled against everything. The girls wanted to look like men. Men won't look like girls. Everybody changed their roles. You know why? Everything that they had, they began to rebel against. You remember that time? In churches, if you went to churches, all you heard them preach about was short skirts and long hair. You heard that about every sermon. Somebody would come along and preach on something like that. But you found that there's a rebellion. Then you find, and you follow that next generation into the 80s and 90s, and you find that that generation had children, and they were a godless children. They were raised, and they really didn't feel like they needed things of God because they didn't see from their parents how good God had been. Because we've gotten to the place right now, they call them millennials. Millennials, they're ready to vote and rise up and vote against for socialism, and they don't have a clue what socialism is. They want to stand up and they want to support all these causes that seem to be contrary to what's best for America. They don't appreciate America. They don't appreciate what made America great. They don't understand who made America great. And my point is this. My point is they have gotten there because we, the generations before them, had failed them. There's a couple things I want to point out. And then I'll close, but look, if you would, back in verse number 10. The Bible said they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. They didn't recognize, their parents didn't recognize the authority of the scriptures. They what they did was continually attack the Word of God. They continually murmured against the Word of God. They wanted their way, and they wanted their things, and they wouldn't listen to what the Word of God said. The Word of God is so important for our children. That's why it's important that we teach them. The Bible says that we raise them in the nurture and admonition of God. The Bible said if we raise up, train up the child in the way in which it should go, when it grows old, it will not depart from it. And it's talking about the training that we give it will not depart from it. Several of us at different times, we've had issues in our life where our children have been less than obedient where they need to be, just like we were at certain times. And sometimes we worried and we wondered if they'd ever come back. But sometimes we see that training that we gave them come through and begin to work. We need to be very careful. Our young people needs to see, and our children needs to see, that we look at the authority of the Word of God. There's nothing that we allow to go to the level of the Word of God. When you have your children sitting there, and these little children, make sure that they don't mark in the Bible. Let them understand the Bible is not a coloring book, and it's not like any other book. It's a special book. You know, whenever I was growing up, I'd get up in the morning. If I stayed with Mom and Dad after I got married, and we stayed all night with them, I'd get up in the morning. Mom would be sitting there most of the time, and she'd be reading her Bible. The Bible meant something to her. When I would go and spend the night with my grandparents, they would sit and they would open the Bible. They'd read the Bible and pray before we went to bed. You knew the Bible meant something. It was more than just something to hold papers down in the house. It's more than something to decorate the coffee table.
Yeah. Amen.
I actually saw them open the Word of God up. And I seen them. I've seen my grandfather different times. I've seen him begin to pray and bless the food. I'd see him get praying and crying. And I've seen him whenever he get through praying that he'd have a puddle of water underneath his face, just praying over the food. My point is this, folks. If we want to keep our children from going astray, we need to let them understand how important the authority of the Word of God is to us. Let them understand that we believe it to be truth, and we believe it to be the only hope that we have. It is for the saving of our soul. Not only that, but in verse 17, also something that they experienced. The Bible said they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They lost the fear of God. The Bible said in the latter days that the generation would have no fear of God before their eyes. People just does things. You know why they act like they do in Washington? You know why they act that way? They don't fear God. You know why they can vote to kill innocent babies? They don't fear God. You know why they can stand and oppose things that they know are directly contradicted? You know, I asked one time when our last governor, Steve Beshears, come through, and he was running for office. And I've told this story before, but he was running for office, and everywhere he went, all his advertisements, he advertised that his grandfather was a preacher and his dad was a preacher. And he was running on the Democratic ticket. And so he had an occasion come up here in Somerset High School. And so I thought, well, I believe I'll go up there and ask him a question. And so we went up there and the place was full. And I was waiting and he was taking some questions. And everybody was asking him all these little softball stuff and telling him how good and all this he was and all these good things. Of course, he was supporting then President Obama running for office as well. And so I asked him, I stood up, I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, can you explain to me I said, I've watched your advertisements, and both your and all your advertisements, you want everybody to know that your grandfather was a preacher and your father was a preacher. I said, is that true? He said, yes. And he began to compliment them. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Why is it that everything that the Bible teaches against, you're voting for? And why is it that things that the Bible teaches for, you're voting against? I said, how can you want to claim and you want to hold on and you want people to vote on you because you have the roots of your grandfather and granddad? I said, I assume that they believe the Bible to be truth. I said, do you believe the Bible to be truth? He said, yes. I said, then how can you vote to kill innocent babies in wombs? I said, how can you vote for a man to be married to a man and a woman to be married to a woman when the Bible teaches contrary against it? I said, I don't understand. And the whole room got quiet. He said, well, you give me a lot to think about. And I thought, well, I wonder how long you'll think about it. And of course, he went right on. He supported the very ones that supported the things that I was talking about. Politicians. But I did get home. I started out to the car. I'll never forget this woman and man. I could tell they were little high society people. I don't know who they were. She looked at me and she said, I wish preachers would just stay in the church. They have no place for people, places like this. I said, well, I guess if the members of our church didn't vote like some of them votes, we wouldn't have to come out to places like this. And I got home and this woman calls me, this girl, young girl, she's in college. And she said, it's not her that calls me, it's her dad that calls me. And he said, he introduced himself and he was over one of the departments in the state of Kentucky. He said, I promised my daughter she's going to Crown College over here, and I promised her that I would call you. She said it was going out, he said, tonight the interview was going out over the air. Said it went all around. And said she was at the college and she heard you get up and speak. And she wanted you to know how proud she was of you to challenge him, because she had listened to every interview in 6 different places that he'd interviewed, and nobody had ever challenged him about anything like that. But let me tell you something, folks. We can't keep from losing our children if our children doesn't see that we fear some things of God. There are some things that they need to learn to fear and have reverence for instead of having pride. And one more thing, and I'll close. Look in verse 22. It says, because they believe not in God, but trusted not in his salvation. In other words, they begin to substitute things. Instead of looking to God and seeing how God would deal with the matter, they begin to look to everybody else and decide what was best. Today, what we do is we plug in some talk show and we listen to some jarhead talking on the television or on the radio, and we put it and we elevate it up above the scripture. The Bible tells us plainly some things to do. Now, sometimes I don't heed the Bible, sometimes you don't heed the Bible, but the Bible is always the best course. And so let me just say this tonight, and like I said, Lord kind of changed my heart. I looked out over these young people, and I just want to share this. And young people, I want you to know that I'm very proud of you. I think we've got some exceptional good young people. I've been proud of every one of you. I've watched some of you get up where you're married. And I know occasionally you'll have one that kind of goes south, but we keep praying that those people will come back. But as a whole, we've got a lot of good young people. A lot of it attributes to some of your parents that have put the effort in. But parents, we need to continue. Let our children hear these things. Let them know these things. Let them realize we are what we are by the grace of God. He's been awful good to us. We got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. I look out, Chris and I remember when we got started, we got started in very humble beginnings. And we was thinking about 40 years ago. But we started out, we worked for 2 or 3 years, and we bought stuff. We bought furniture. We were so proud we was going to get a trailer for $100 a month. We stayed in it until the rats ate it, and but we did pretty good. But then I look where we are now and think how God has tremendously blessed us. Our children need to know that. They need to hear it from us. And they'd be a lot better off hearing that than complaining and getting in on all this garbage stuff that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Let them hear how good God's been. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Maybe you're here tonight, and the Lord spoke to your heart about something. You need to come, however God may deal with you. Maybe you just need to bow your head where you're at and just say, Lord, I just want to thank you for your goodness. Help me to share it to my children. Help me to share it with my grandchildren to know how good God's been to us. How about as we sing, Brother Porter?